You have questions about Connecticut personal injury law? Then you've found your podcast. Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean keeps it real. Straight talk, live from Glastonbury, Connecticut. This is Ryan McKean.
Hi, good morning. It's Ryan McKean here. I'm here with attorney Betsy Ingram. And this morning we're going to talk about the very sad topic of birth injuries. So good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Betsy.
Good.
So what, Betsy, is a birth injury?
Well, a birth injury is what it sounds like. It's an unfortunate incident that happens during the birth of a baby in which the baby and or the mother experiences some sort of injury.
Typically, how do birth injuries happen?
Well, there's a number of ways. The mother could be having a complication during delivery that perhaps the doctor doesn't recognize or doesn't respond to appropriately. And when that happens, then a baby can suffer serious complications, usually as a result of a deprivation of oxygen during the delivery that can have neurological consequences.
What are some typical birth injuries that a baby may suffer?
Well, as I said, typically if a baby is deprived of oxygen during the delivery process, then there can be complications such as cerebral palsy, other types of neurological complications that can lead to the baby having cognitive or physical deficits, perhaps be unable to move some of its limbs or walk. And a lot of times these deficits are not noticed until the baby gets older. So that's very difficult as well, because you don't always know that a birth injury has actually happened at the time of the delivery.
So what should a parent do if they suspect that their child has suffered a birth injury?
Well, anytime that there is a complicated delivery process where doctors have to be involved, something that is more than typical, or if you suspect that something has happened during the delivery where there might be atypical consequences, or you know that something is going on, or there's been some medical complication, it's a good idea to have a doctor or an attorney take a look at the medical records to see if something might have happened. Because you may not know when the baby is very small that there could be down the line cognitive or physical problems as a result of what happened during the delivery. So early intervention is always best.
So what are some signs that parents should look for to see that a child may exhibit if they have a birth injury?
Not meeting milestones. Significantly delayed in meeting the typical milestones is something to definitely look out for. Walking, talking, smiling, some of the other things that, your pediatrician will ask you at the appointment, is your baby doing these things on time? And your pediatrician may be one of the first ones to flag an issue if they see something going on at a developmental appointment that might indicate that something untoward has taken place.
And how can birth injuries be prevented? Are they preventable?
Well, we like to think that most of the time doctors are doing everything that they can to make sure that the mother and the baby are safe. And, no one's saying that doctors are intentionally going out there to hurt mothers or babies, but sometimes birth and delivery can be a very complicated process. And if a doctor fails to do something that they should have done to safeguard the mother or the baby, then that can be when some bad results happen. And so if you feel that your doctor did or didn't do something during a delivery process that might have caused some complications to go down the line, then that's when you want to get an attorney or another doctor involved to take a look at that.
And so what are some actions or inactions that doctors may take during labor that may cause a birth injury?
Well, oftentimes it's failure to promptly deliver the baby. So if the baby is in distress, if the fetal monitoring strips are showing that the baby is not having an appropriate heartbeat or is not getting enough oxygen, then it's important for the doctor to intervene immediately and deliver the baby. So a lot of times it's allowing labor to go on for too long while the baby is in distress without making the decision to perform a C-section. So if you feel that your labor did not progress appropriately and the doctor held off and did not do a C-section timely and the baby suffered a lack of oxygen because of that, that could be something that would lead to a birth injury.
And now, what is the statute of limitations, which would be the time that somebody has to bring a claim for a birth injury in Connecticut?
So you have 2 years from the date of the incident And that's when you really want to aim for getting your records looked at. So it takes time for a lawyer in Connecticut to review a birth injury case. It's not as simple as just signing you up and putting the case into a lawsuit. In Connecticut, we need to have a doctor take a look at all the medical records and give the attorneys an opinion that something was in fact done that shouldn't have been done. And then that doctor will write out a letter that we have to attach to the lawsuit when we file it in court. And all of that takes time. So it's very important to not wait until the last minute if you think that something has gone on that shouldn't have. Don't wait until, you know, 1 year and 12 or 11 months. Get in touch with a lawyer as soon as you can.
So say a parent discovers a birth injury, you know, when the child is 2 years old, mm-hmm. on their second birthday appointment. Is there anything that can be done at that point, or is it as the claim expired?
Potentially. So there's another avenue in Connecticut whereby you can file a lawsuit at the time that the injury is discovered to have happened, but not longer than 3 years from the date of the injury. So 3 years would be your absolute limit to file the claim. But in general, you want to do it as soon as possible. So if, like Ryan said, you discovered that the injury happened on a second birthday, you still would have another year to bring the claim. But it's important to do that as soon as you get information that might lead you to think that a birth injury has taken place.
Now, when you're talking attorneys and you're talking doctors evaluating claims, is there a cost to doing this if somebody was to look for legal help?
There's a cost that we absorb as the attorneys. It does cost money to retain doctors and to hire them to look at the records and give their opinion, but that's something that we as the law firm absorb that cost, and that's not passed along to you unless the case goes into a lawsuit and there's eventually a recovery.
So somebody out there who may be struggling to pay their bills and they think that they have a birth injury, so getting access to a lawyer and access to review of those records, the cost won't prohibit them from doing so.
That's correct. There would be no cost up front to get the doctor to look at the records.
And is there any charge to hire a birth injury attorney?
We take a look at the cases and evaluate whether or not there's a claim, and we do that without any charge or fee or cost passed along to the client.
And if the birth injury attorney takes the case, what is the typical fee structure in Connecticut?
So in Connecticut, the statute allows us to take one-third of the ultimate recovery as an attorney's fee for the claim. So because medical malpractice is a complicated case, the statute allows us as the attorneys to recover a one-third fee of whatever the settlement or the jury verdict would be.
And when you have a birth injury case, is it possible for a baby to suffer a birth injury without malpractice, without medical malpractice?
Yes, you know, unfortunately, sometimes bad outcomes just do occur, and it doesn't have to do anything to do with any malpractice or negligence on the part of the doctor. But that's why it's important to have an attorney who's experienced in these things take a look at it and send it out to the right doctors so that the doctors can review it and determine whether or not your doctor, in fact, did make a mistake.
And I think that's a really critical point, Betsy, because it's hard even for us who do this kind of work to look at medical records and to understand whether or not the standard of care has been breached. So oftentimes we do have to consult with experts. So I think for anybody out there who's wondering if they have a claim, you know, I think they owe it to themselves to get it looked at by an attorney who can then vet those records. So if somebody hires an attorney, say they have a case, does that mean that they're going to have to go to court?
No, absolutely not. You know, almost all cases that get filed in court end up settling. I will say that medical malpractice cases tend to go to trial more frequently than some other types of cases, like perhaps a car accident. But there's no guarantee that just because you file a case, you're going to end up actually in court. Most of these things settle outside of court.
And what... you know, how long does a case typically take? And again, there's all sorts of ranges. Some cases settle quickly, and some cases go on for years, but typically, how long would a case take?
A case like this would probably take between 2 to 3 years from the time that you file it to the time that it actually went up to a verdict. Now, as Ryan said, cases can settle any time before that, but in general, doctors tend to fight medical malpractice cases more than the typical car accident or some other type of more basic lawsuit. So you have to sort of prepare yourself that you are in for probably a couple of years of litigation, but that's why you hire an experienced medical malpractice attorney who can fight that fight for you and take that stress off of your plate and make sure that you're well taken care of.
And what are the kind of damages that can be recovered in a Connecticut birth malpractice claim?
So you would be able to recover your medical expenses that are related to the care and treatment of the child. And very importantly, you'd be able to recover the cost of future medical expenses that your child might incur, which could be significant, could require, you know, visiting nurse care or modifications to your home for a wheelchair. All of those things can be covered. And then you get to recover the loss of enjoyment of life that your child might have experienced were they, for example, able to walk or talk normally. So those types of damages are all recoverable.
And so what kind of experts may be necessary to calculate the damages of, like, future medical care?
So we do things like hire a life care planner, and that person would look at what your child needs, what your child has for medical costs and expenses going forward, and they plan out, well, you might need a special van to carry a wheelchair around. You might need to put a ramp in the front of your house so that the child can get up the stairs. You might need to move your house completely to a one-floor living situation. All of those things are things that we hire experts to calculate out the cost of so that you can be fully compensated for everything that you're missing out on.
Now, you know, a lot of times parents who may have a child who has suffered a significant disability, they may have to quit their job or they may have to, you know, to care for the child. They may be the primary caregiver most of the time. Can they get compensation for that?
There is compensation that a parent can recover for the lost income or other lost opportunities that they might have had were they not acting as a full-time caregiver for the child. But that's also why it's so important to, if you feel that you have a birth injury or some other significant injury to your child, bring the claim, because going forward you can be compensated for that in-home care so that you as a parent can go back to work and perhaps recover some of the things that you used to be able to do that you're no longer able to do.
So what are some of the difficulties of bringing a medical malpractice claim?
So I would say that the main difficulty is that emotionally it's going to be a challenge for you and potentially for your child. Depending on how old your child is, the defendants may want to have some sort of an examination of your child, that your child might have to go to another doctor and have an examination by the defendant's lawyer, and that can be stressful on you as a parent. It's possible that the defendants may try to take a deposition of your child, and if your child is verbal, that may be something they want to ask them questions about how their injuries affect them if they're old enough to talk about it. You will have to give a deposition as the parent. That is a sad and potentially scary thing to do. But our job is to make sure that you are well prepared for all of these eventualities. We make sure that we've talked to you, we've prepared you, you know exactly what to expect. We can protect you from any of these processes being overly burdensome or overly annoying or overly harassing. And that's our job, to run interference for you. So while there are things that you're going to have to do if you do bring a claim on behalf of your child, there's ways that we can try to make that as easy for you as possible.
And so if there was a deposition, and a deposition's where an attorney for the doctor would sit down and ask a witness some questions, would a person who's bringing a claim, would they be able to have an attorney present?
Absolutely. We would be there with you for every step of the way. We'd be there to prepare you, and we'd be sitting in the room with you, and we'd be protecting you from the deposition being, as I said, too overly invasive or burdensome on you.
And with the cost of with the cost of bringing a case, because you've got to file a lawsuit, you've got to maybe hire experts, like you've mentioned, a life care planner, other experts for liability. Does if a parent suffered a birth injury, do they have to pay those costs?
So what eventually happens is we keep track of all the costs that are incurred, all the experts, all of the other costs that might be associated with the lawsuit, the filing fee in court. We keep track of those, and then at the end of the lawsuit, those costs are reimbursed to the law firm out of your eventual settlement or recovery. if for some reason there is no settlement or recovery, you are not responsible for any of the costs that we have incurred.
And now, say there is a settlement or recovery, you know, how does that money get put into, like, a special needs trust, or does it have to go through the probate court? Can you explain a little bit about that process?
Yeah, because when the case settles, the money is for the benefit of your minor child. The settlement, if it's over a certain amount, which most of the time it will be, has to go through probate. And the probate judge takes a look at it and takes a look at the case and makes sure that the settlement was done in the child's best interest. And that's just an extra layer of protection that you and your child have to make sure that this is an appropriate settlement for your case. And then the money usually goes into a trust where a trustee will dispense the money for the benefit of the child on the child's behalf.
So you think it would be common for, you know, a birth injury lawyer to work after a settlement with a special needs trust lawyer?
Yes, there's usually special lawyers that are set up as trustees for this money. And that way, so for example, if you needed to buy the van to have a wheelchair child transported, then that money would be dispersed for that purpose. Or medical bills or modifications to your home, anything like that, that money would be dispersed by the trustee lawyer. And we, as the birth injury lawyers, can work with that person to make sure that the process goes smoothly.
Betsy, it's been very informative this morning. Is there anything else that you think that somebody out there who's, you know, wondering, they have, their child may have some issues, anything else that you think that somebody should know in this position?
Yeah, it's a very tough thing. I'm a parent myself. I have two small children, and I know for me, it would be important if I thought that something had happened to get answers and to get some sort of closure about what had happened to my child. So what we can offer you is not only the potential for financial recovery to make your family's life easier, but also some peace of mind, some answers. And if that means that we get the case looked at by a doctor and they say there was no negligence here, at least you know that whatever happened is something that you can go to sleep at night and know that you did everything you could to look into what happened for your child and for your family.
Now, you know, that brings up a good point, because there's such an emotional component to these cases. Now, what if, you know, emotions can range from anger at the doctor to sympathy, like they may like their doctor.
Right.
And, you know, can you talk a little bit about it from, I know because you've done some defense work, from, you know, a doctor's perspective? Are doctors typically covered by insurance?
Yes, doctors have insurance policies, and those insurance policies are set up exactly for this type of thing. And they have their own lawyers who will make sure that whatever settlement or recovery is reached is fair and appropriate, and then that's what the doctor will eventually agree to. And, you know, from my own personal experience, having defended doctors in some cases, I know that doctors often want what's best for their patients. That doesn't mean they're going to roll over and, you know, say, yes, I was negligent, but they will work with their lawyer and with the other lawyer to try to come to a resolution that's reasonable and fair for the family. So I know it's a hard thing that this might be a family doctor that you've known for a long time, but you have rights and you have responsibilities to you and your family, and it's important to stand up for those, and that's what insurance is there for.
And, you know, I think just one last thing, because I think it's a factor in all these cases. Can you talk a little bit about consent to settle?
Yes. So what I was sort of alluding to before about the doctors rolling over and saying, yes, I was negligent, these insurance policies have what's called consent to settle clauses in them. So the doctors have to agree that they will settle the case. And that sounds like an impossible hurdle, but you'd be surprised. In most cases, the doctors eventually agree, yes, this settlement is in my best interest and in my patient's best interest, and they agree to settle the case. It can take some time to get there because doctors don't want to admit that they did anything wrong. Most people don't want to admit they did anything wrong, but doctors do get there with the process. That's one of the things that can make these cases take a little bit longer as well.
And can you sort of contrast that for if somebody's in a car accident?
Mm-hmm. So in a car accident, if you were in a car accident and it was your fault, and you didn't want to settle the case, the insurance company has the power based on your contract of insurance with them to settle the case without your consent. That's why doctors' insurance policies are a little different. They have the ability to withhold that consent to say, no, I don't agree that you settle the case to the insurance company. The insurance company can't override that.
And what if, When you bring a lawsuit, is the doctor's license on the line?
Well, there are reporting requirements that the doctor has. If there is a verdict, if the case went all the way to trial and there was a verdict, the doctor would have to report to the state licensing board that there was action taken against them that did affect potentially their fitness to practice medicine, and those would be on the public record. A lot of times settlements in the case have a clause in them that the doctor will not be required to report to the licensing board.
And but initially when somebody files a case, like there's no, I mean, the case is just about money.
That's correct. The doctor is not prohibited from practicing medicine. The doctor still practices, still has patients. Their livelihood is not affected in that way.
Well, Betsy, thank you so much for talking about this very emotional and sad subject this morning. I hope our conversation this morning will help somebody out there who may be wondering if they have a Connecticut birth injury claim.
Yeah, I hope so too, Ryan. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean, giving you straight talk and answering your questions about Connecticut personal injury law. It's serious stuff. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show, and we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan McKean, on Facebook at CT Trial Firm, on LinkedIn at Ryan McKean, and on Instagram at CT Injury Lawyer. Till next time.